Today we're talking with Paula Poundstone, who's coming to HSU's Van Duzer Theater on August 26th. She also released a new book, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness, in May, which was number one on the Amazon bestseller list for humor CDs on the day of the release. And last month, Paula launched a brand new podcast called Live from the Poundstone Institute on NPR, which ranked number one on iTunes comedy. Congratulations, Paula. You've been busy.
Well, thank you. I have been busy, but fortunately it's busy with fun work.
Yeah, it all sounds fun. And we're looking forward to having you up here in Humboldt County on August 26th to have some fun with you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. You know, it's good to be with others.
Absolutely. Well, Paula, so your podcast, Live from the Poundstone Institute, I read is your quest to gather all of the world's knowledge.
It is in, 34 minutes a week. It's probably not going to be easy to get through it all. But it is. I have the chance. I've been on the NPR show, Wait, Don't Tell Me, for many, many years. And one of the things that comes up sometimes is my boss, Peter. And for those who don't know, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a weekly news quiz show. And there's three panelists each week. And I'm lucky enough to get to be one of the panelists sometimes. And my boss, Peter, who's the host of the show, will occasionally cite some sort of survey or study that has, kind of hard-to-believe information. And I always question it. I always say, well, wait a minute, where did you get that? Who told you that? And who funded that study? So Live from the Poundstone Institute is the opportunity for me to talk to the actual scientists or researchers who do some of those studies. We do other things on the show, too, but the backbone of it is that. So all the science is real. I get to make jokes about it, but all the science is real. We do an in-house study as well, which or in-house survey, and that's also done in part online. If somebody wanted to go to NPR and find the Poundstone Institute, you can go on and join in the survey. And
is that the personality survey?
No, the personality survey is different. The PPP, the Poundstone Personality Survey, that we do with a well-known person each week. For example, we've had Jay Leno and Dana Carvey and Dick Cavett and upcoming episode, we had Tig Notaro on the upcoming episode. We had David Sedaris, and it's been pretty fun. We asked them probing questions, three probing questions, and then we run the results through our very old-fashioned computer, and it tells some revealing conclusion about the person with whom we are talking. With Tig Notaro, it told us what kitchen implement she was most like. With Dana Carvey, it told us what board game he was most like, and it's fun. I do it in front of a live audience, a small but lively audience in Hollywood, and so far so good.
Yeah, it's really funny, and it sounds like it's been really successful so far. You just launched last month, right?
Yeah, and so far it's doing okay. If I were like a major investor, and I needed to send my kid to college on my investment, I'm not sure it would be the thing I would invest in. But it's been fun, and it's doing good so far. And people that listen seem to respond very positively, and that's nice.
Yeah, it's a good place for podcast listeners to invest their time.
Yeah, the world of podcasts is enormous. I think at this point, there's not a comic alive that couldn't just every day do a friend's podcast. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting someone doing a podcast. In fact, there's probably a podcast about dead cats. But the good thing about this, and there are many, one of the good things about this is, you really are learning real life stuff, but it's also funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, one disturbing fact that I learned on Live from the Poundstone Institute is that you all debunked the 5-second rule about when you drop your food on the ground, that you have 5 seconds to eat it before it's contaminated with bacteria.
Yeah, apparently bacteria, I don't know if this is new, but apparently they jump on board right away now.
So has that changed your eating habits at all?
No, I didn't eat a lot of food off the floor to begin with.
Right.
Honestly, I swear, in my kitchen, you know, I have 14 cats and two German Shepherd mixed dogs.
Right. And you don't need to eat off the floor. They get it for you, right?
Well, that's true. There's competition for the food on the floor. But I am in the habit of, if I drop something, just quickly picking it up and putting it in my mouth. And I guess so far so good, you know, I must have strong antibodies. But in truth, you shouldn't even eat off my kitchen table, probably.
Okay. Duly noted.
Yeah, yeah, just in case I ever, you know, we get together
right.
for dinner or something, you want to know, let's go out.
Okay, sounds good. One of your episodes was about forest baths, and I was wondering if you knew, Paula, that Humboldt County is home to the world's tallest trees, the redwood trees.
No, I didn't know that.
So if you're looking for a place to have a forest bath, this is the place.
It sounds like it. I don't have time to listen to the trees usually. Although I will say one time, a couple years ago, I was working in Vermont, and I was the night before in New Hampshire, and so I didn't have to get up really early and fly, and I wasn't on an airplane all day, and I was actually there early enough to go for a walk in the woods in Vermont by myself. And I got to say, it was one of the nicest days of my entire life.
Oh.
Plus, I didn't get lost, which is an added bonus. You know, I get lost everywhere I go. So the idea of me walking around the woods at all, I should always be accompanied by the helicopter guys.
Okay, well, when you're here on August 26th for your show at Humboldt State, there's a redwood forest right next to the university campus. So,
wow.
I hope you get a chance to walk around. And if anybody's out there walking on August 26th, if you see Paula Poundstone looking lost, help her out, right?
Yeah.
That's what...
If you see me not looking lost, play the lottery that day.
Okay. All right. So your book, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness, I mean, you have like one, you have your scientific podcast, and then you have your book that's an unscientific study of the search for human happiness. Can you tell us about your different attempts to achieve happiness?
Yeah, my book, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness, it is a series of experiments doing things that I or other people thought would make me happy. And, you know, the real question I had was, you know, what could I do that would give me a bounce that lasted? You know, not that I would just enjoy it in the moment, but that it would carry over into my regular life, which is or was raising a house full of kids and animals and being a stand-up comic for a living and just being stuck being me 24 hours a day. So every chapter is written as an experiment. There's the hypothesis and the conditions and hopefully the funniest field notes ever written, but the analysis part of each chapter is the story of just my regular life. And the book took place over the course of 7 years, so I'm sort of slowly becoming an empty nester, I guess, as the book moves forward. I did, I can't remember how many experiments. It was probably in the early teens, I would think.
Quite a few. You took like taekwondo and you tried being out in nature and...
I did. I suppose technically it was, well, I didn't have anybody instructing me in my forest bath, but I suppose technically it was at least a forest shower, at least a forest bird bath.
Right, a sponge bath or something.
Yeah, at least a forest moist towelette. My first chapter was the Get Fit chapter, where I took taekwondo and self-defense. I took private lessons, as many as I could fit in per week around my, you know, work and taking care of my kids. Which amounted to, you know, it varied 2, 3, 4 a week. Maybe the most would be 5. And I did this for a number of months. I was up to 500 rope jumps, and let me just say that's in a row.
That's a lot.
It was a lot. And I bruised my toes with the rope so many times that I gave up my dream of foot modeling. It was a lot. And I was in the probably the best... you know, at least strength shape of my entire life. I have a glaring pot belly that just plain won't go away. That may trim down a bit, but it never exactly went away. But I was strong. I've recently gone back to it. I can't do anything that I was doing before.
Well, hopefully you build up to it soon. What I thought was really interesting, too, and I guess I just wasn't expecting it, is you tell a lot of stories about your kids and about your daughter, Tosha.
Tosha, my oldest.
Yeah, and there's really a lot of like poignant and lovely stories about your kids and how did they feel about being the subject of your book as well?
I don't know.
You haven't talked about it?
They haven't said anything.
I guess that's good.
Yeah, probably is. I honestly don't think they'll ever notice. they're not really hooked into my work as a general rule. They're all young adults now, and they're all off being whatever it is they are. And it's a very honest book. It's funny. That it's the number one job is to be funny. You know. It's the anti-Facebook. You know, they say that people who are on Facebook a lot tend to be depressed, and that's because they're looking at everybody else's 24-hour-a-day holiday letter drip, and, you know, telling everyone how wonderful their children are and how beautiful their home is and how lovely their vacation was. And by the way, my children are wonderful. But they're also real people. And raising kids is an impossibly hard job, and I sure as heck don't have the answers. And so it's a hook to hang yet another memoir, which I get to keep writing because I'm not dead yet. But it's the story of me parenting these three wildly different wild kids.
Yeah, well, and the quest for happiness as well. So can you tell us what we're going to hear at your show at the Van Duzer Theater on August 26th?
Well, I talk about raising a house full of kids and animals.
Okay.
I talk about trying to pay attention to the news well enough to cast a halfway decent vote, which we all know is almost impossible. My favorite part of the night is just plain talking to the audience. I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living, and in this way, little biographies of audience members emerge, and I use that from which to set my sails. So I never quite know what I'm going to talk about because a lot of it is dictated by who's in the room. I've been probably on a good night, and I like to think that some are. Probably about a third is unique just to that particular audience because of the way that I work. And then the rest of it, I'm not really sure what material I'm doing any given night because I allow what happens with the audience to sort of direct me, but also because I can't remember stuff to save my life. So I have 38 years of material somewhere blowing around in my brain, and I figure it's kind of like those arcade games where, you know, whatever you can catch of the money they blow around, you can keep.
Right.
That's sort of like my act.
Okay. Well, Paula, we're about out of time, but is there anything else you want to say?
No, I like to tell people that I spend a lot of time writing jokes for Twitter. and of course, I want to remind them to listen to Live from the Poundstone Institute podcast. But having said both those things, I also like to tell people that after they read my tweet and after they listen to the podcast, they should put that damn flat thing down.
Okay, they just need to look at it just to
just
catch
for me,
up on,
really.
Right.
Yeah, it's a little hypocritical, and I see that.
Well, you're honest, Paula. I mean, so, well, Paula Poundstone, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for coming up to Humboldt County. We're looking forward to having you up here. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, thanks a lot. You take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.